archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi Miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act like my ex got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending I'm blood quantums in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Medicine Bundle. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Deanna Standing Cloud. It is Friday. It is March 21st. It's the first full day of spring, and I'm not in the studio today. We've had a little bit of sickness in the past couple weeks. So last week it was food poisoning for me, and then this week it's actually my dog and my daughter. My daughter has strep and influenza B as well, so she's on the mend here at home. So I'm tuning in from home. I'm super lucky to have a guest here. So last week I didn't have a guest. This week I have a friend, and she's not in the studio with me, which would be awesome. But she's tuning in as well from her location. And I'm just gonna step aside and let her introduce herself. And we're just gonna keep today super low key. I don't even have any questions set. I just knew it would probably be a whole vibe. So but yeah, I'll just mute for a little bit, and I'll let my guest introduce herself and her role, and just any opening remarks from her.
Bonjour, Anine, Miigwech, Deanna. This is Genevieve Lane. I am Lakota on my father's side, culturally raised that way, and Turtle Mountain Chippewa on my mother's side. That's where my paperwork is, but I've never been to that reservation. And I was raised mostly in New Mexico, proud Gen Xer, mom, anthropologist by academic training, currently, senior artistic producer at New Native Theater. And I've been with that company for, a year now, which is super cool. So no pressure. I'm bringing the whole vibe, I guess, as Deanna says. Happy to do so, and I'll take it as a compliment that, like, I'm the guest who keeps rolling. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And yeah, It's so the scene, I wasn't sure what the role was, so I wasn't, I'm glad that I didn't go ahead and make a mistake with the title. So
girl, senior, how would you describe me if you didn't know the role?
No, I mean, like the role at New Native Theater, I was almost going to say like the mom of New Native Theater, because like you and Juanita are kind of have the mothery type around the ensemble, you know?
Sure. So I'm just teasing Deanna too a little bit, because we crossed paths, if I can tell the folks how we met, as Deanna was finishing Blood Quantum Physics, the radio play series, audio play series, if some of you got to see that in December. So I started working with Deanna kind of like, I think in the late summer, early fall, sort of poking her like, hey, how you coming on these scripts for this project that was sort of on the shelf for a while, you know, life happened. And she was very good about like, oh yeah. And I kept poking her a little bit, but you know, I think as a producer, I got to like really kind of like understand her brain as a playwright and a writer, which was super exciting. And then I even got to like have a little part in the production when we put it on stage. So yeah, so I guess it would be really hard from Deanna's perspective to describe what it is I do. I just kind of am like, Let's get a workshop together. Let's get some actors to read your stuff.
Well, it helped me so much. Okay, so you must know how creatives work, and you're a creative yourself, and you're a writer yourself. And just, I think a lot of the writing, you go through your own, like your own journey and your own, almost kind of like you have to go through your own, I don't know, like trauma healing in order to get to a place to write it down, or you're actually using the writing as a cathartic activity in itself. So that having you there to tell me to get going was super helpful. And it was in a way that worked, because you are not the first one from New Native Theater to nudge me like that. You were the one who actually got it going. There was other people before you.
You give me two credit. I was probably the final squeaky wheel, you know, causing a rock in your shoe. But I mean, you flatter me by acknowledging the writer bit. So another thing Deanna and I have in common, which I just got a copy of it last night, the anthology put out by the Native Writers Cohort, sponsored by NACDI.
Awesome.
Yeah, you were in that last year, and I'm kind of a weirdo. Like, welcome to Indian Country, right? So every couple years, I've sort of changed, not careers, well, kind of, but fields. So I've worked in museums and human resources. I've managed a mental health wing of a clinic. I've taught college. I've done so many things. And lately, the actory, writery stuff was more like a bucket list curiosity of mine. Like, hey, maybe I can write a book. So I applied to that same cohort that you just came through. And I don't have, outside of graduate school, I don't have writing experience per se. I mean, if we want to go way back, like in fourth grade, I thought I was Charles Dickens. So that whole process is new to me. And I will say too, it's been really humbling working around creatives. I mean, I thank you for saying that I understand those brains to some extent, or at least, you know, handling them with care, because I think in all of my, so all my work has been in Native community. Like even when I worked for the Fed, I was always liaison through tribal communities since I graduated college. And I just had this thought, being an anthropologist, that I was like, there's people, I know people, people's good. And that has held pretty steady until I think working with New Native Theater and being in close proximity with artists, on the daily, especially writers, yourself and Rihanna Yazzie and other people who come through, playwrights and so forth. These are different brains. This is a different mm-hmm. set of cats that I'm used to working with. Like all of my little tricks for navigating people and motivating them, they've had to be rejudged and changed. And I've had to be, I'm an extrovert, as you can tell. I'm just talking my off, but I've had to be a little more careful. I've had to be a little more humble and listening. Mm-hmm. Because with artists, it's not just that they're creatives, it's that they have their temperaments, where they draw that well of creativity is so different. Like, I can understand the temperament of a therapist far better than I could any writer you throw me at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of creative folks seems to be introverted in the sense that they go deep in their brains, you know, and they're like in this other world that they inhabit. So teasing them out, you can't be too enthusiastic. Sometimes folks are just like, well, that's a bit much. I'm shutting down. I'm going to my creative space. You know. Mm-hmm. So you were very good, I think, about taking nudges, and I'm glad it worked out for us. Yeah, and I'm so glad you have me on the show. I'm really, you know, I was really, really I was really excited for you when you floated the idea of Medicine Bundle and you were asking, you know, people to take part. I just think your reputation in the community is just being like so generous and sharing thoughts, ideas, and a platform. And yeah, whatever, you know, I can bring to the space from here on out, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that too, because I think in the past year or two, I've been trying to like comparative to earlier in my career when my kids were younger. Like right now I'm not like on a set comfortable, like, okay, I'm here. Here's my full-time job. I go to work at 8:00. I come home at 4:30. I don't have that anymore. So, and I've tried to like land that. And, but recently it's been a lot of like spiritual, like it's a lot of intuitive listening. So, which is really different. Like there's always been intuition and like nudges and spiritual like guidance, but this to me, it feels like I've let go of a lot of control and just, okay, I'm going to go where you're telling me to go. I'm going to let go of everything. And this radio show is like one of those things that popped up in that letting go process, because like because I'm so like, I'm a single mom and I'm like, how am I going to do this? I mean, it's already in my second month of with the show. And I was before, I would have been like, okay, here's this obstacle. I can't do it this because of this. I can't do this. But instead I was like, okay, I'm just going to like let go and I will maneuver whatever needs to be done. And even right now, like being at home, and I was so worried. I'm like, maybe I'm going to have to figure out something else, but we made it work this week. And it's just, to me, it's just amazing, because I wish I would have done this a long time. I wish I would have let go a long time ago. But I think you have to go through so much of that stuff when you're younger, like that internal, like, who do I trust? And I gave away my power a lot to other people. I cared too much about other people's thoughts. And now I'm just like, I don't have time for that right now, because this life goes by super fast and I don't have time to care. So this show is like one of the like huge like light bulbs that popped up out of that whole philosophy, or like that whole like trusting process of letting go. So that's, and you're here and we're like together and it's so cool, because it's amazing to like trust. It's scary and it's scary. And it's, yeah, So I'm very happy.
Heard chef, like 100%. So let's throw down some of our like elder and training wisdom, right? I feel like, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I feel like I went from like auntie to elder in training, like in the span of like 30 days, you know, like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Where is my hot girl summer? It didn't happen. So, but what you're saying about letting go and, what's important in life. Yeah. So let me just get, I mean, you'll probably edit what you want to keep unless, are we live?
No, we're not live.
Okay, good. All right. So I'll make sure I don't F-bomb. I was like, wait a minute. So like my mom, a few years ago, she's okay right now, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And she seems to be responding well to the chemo, but we've had like 3 years, which was like 2 years more than we thought we would get, right? And in all that time, people were saying things well-intentioned. They'd be like, oh, look on the bright side, and you don't know, she could live forever, and here if she stays away from sugar. And it's like, it was everyone else's anxiety. Mm-hmm. They were trying to like hand it off to me to say the right thing, to feel better. And I was just like, let me just sit with the fact that this is terminal. Like, however long it takes, this, it's 80% chance this is how she go, right? But the gift that came from that, because cancer, I think, like any other chronic disease probably, gives your relationships a veneer of intensity. Things that were once a priority, they kind of shuffle around. Mm-hmm. And it's brought to me the awareness of like, what do I need to let go of? And so it was like, okay, I need to let go of worrying about, as you're saying, like, a career trajectory, which I never really had, but I was just kind of like, I need to just sort of stop working at this clinic and do something that's a little more fun. Like, I deserve joy because life just threw us something heavy. And so when I left my previous job to come to New Native, like, that was one of those big decisions. And then I let go of, like sort of worrying about the effects on my sense of like value and my output. So like, I'm not my quote unquote job. And I've instead prioritized, I think, as I'm hearing you say now, the things that bring joy. So I ran a marathon last year. I've got my bucket list has about 99 items. and writing a book was the next one that I thought, okay, that's going to take some time. And so then I signed up, you know, for that writer's cohort, and I was accepted. And there's other weird stuff on there. Like, I want to ride a cow. That's, you know, some of these are like childhood wishes, but it's kind of like working on the bucket list is like a love letter to 80-year-old me. I'm lucky enough to be conscious and rested when it comes time for me to expire. You know, the dream is like being in hospice surrounded with loved ones, but I want to play for myself like a greatest hits reel of all the things I did and not feel like, oh, I wish I would have. Oh, I wish I would have. And these are very selfish, not selfish, but self-interested experiences. That don't require really anybody else. These are like little dreams I've had for myself, like my whole life. And I want to do them now. And, you know, my mother encourages me, like, I am lucky to have like a spouse and, my daughter still lives at home. She's 12 tomorrow, you know? Yeah. And she's encouraging me. But it's hard, I think, as a not even a parent, but I think as a mom, a Native mom in particular, like, we are kind of the cornerstone of like how multiple generations get along. And I'm not only taking care of my daughter, I'm lucky to have a in-resident co-parent, but there's also my mother, like, running to appointments for her here and there. And then yesterday, my stepdad, we had an evaluation for him. I took time off work to go to because he's beginning to have some memory issues. So yeah, we got a diagnosis there. And I drove down from Duluth this morning because they live up north. And I went right to the office because I wanted to make sure, does the theater have what they need? Is my job okay right now? You know, am I spinning the plates? And then I was like, okay, that's enough. Now go home, you know, refill your bucket with your talk with Deanna because she gets a lot of this, you know. And then later the afternoon, I'll roll into like another meeting for work. So that that flexibility, like doing the Bruce Lee like water thing around stuff in your schedule, it doesn't get easier, but it gets more intuitive, I think, is what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, and your outlook about things too is, it makes it a lot easier because I used to freak out. I used to freak out so much, and the only ones who would get it is like my kids, like, and that's not healthy for them. It's like, oh, we're late for this, or we got to go to this, and I have to pay this bill, and it's like, no, that's none of their business. But I was like learning as I go. And what you're talking about too is, you know, I'm the matriarch of my family now. And just, you know, I had something happen this past week where it was like, I should have just listened to my intuition. I kind of like stepped back and allowed my family, who I don't know. It's a situation where I just kind of learned something within my family, and I'm like, well, and I can't, you know, beat myself up about it, but it's just, it's more like you said, like Bruce Lee, it's like that more flexibility. There's like agility in my emotions, there's agility in the way I see things, and there's more acceptance, and like I can't change who people are, even my kids. I can't change how they respond to things. It's like I have to, like, at some point just let stuff go and just be, and then I can gather enough energy with the energy I save from freaking out to be more of service to people, you know. And the selfish thing, I don't think it's selfish, you know. I think it's, I actually pulled up your questionnaire about how you take care of yourself, and that's exactly how I take care of myself, is the same way. And it's, being selfish is not, it doesn't come from an ego place. It comes from like, it's my contribution to the world, because if I'm not good, I can't show up who, you know, the way I want to show up for my family and for my community.
Quick hack for the listener, what she's referencing is kind of like what I call like my daily routine. And this has been going on for like a couple of years now. So every day I devote like first thing in the morning to a project. In this case, it's writing. So that's like about 42 minutes of a day. If I get up late, I still start the day with writing, even if it's like 5 minutes, just because I feel like, all right, consistency is important. The marathon taught me that. Every step counts.
Yes.
Second thing I'll do is I'll pay for the day, is how I say. It's like my sort of prayerful meditation, my connection to the creator and the planet is to exercise every day, 30 minutes of either strength, or I twisted my ankle, so I haven't been able to run for a few weeks, but I'll do like a HIIT training right here in my living room, you know, with my Apple Fitness. And then, you know, I also have like some meditation, like those things, getting to bed on time. Mm-hmm. That's a little challenging with the job, because as we know, theater performances happen at night, and I do live an hour away. So that's where I have to be flexible and just change my hours up a little bit, which, oh, okay. I don't want to get too personal, so we can just leave it on my side of the road. But let's say a friend recently posted, a very close friend recently posted on Facebook about perimenopause and that experience. And I got to tell you, like, my head just about came off, because I've been experiencing like some challenges with like keeping my routine and sleep. Mm-hmm. I was getting up, after 4 hours of sleep, and I'd be up for an hour or two in the middle of the night, and then I'd go back to sleep, and I'd sleep another 3-4 hours. But it was just, it was bizarre. It was threw my schedule off. And when I saw the post about like life changes, and I was just like, oh my God, your girl is like 46 now. Like, it just wasn't on my radar.
Yeah.
So, and then just, you know, trying to get like my mom to talk about it was really not happening much. And I was shy about saying like, so what was your experience with menopause? You know, like, even though I know everything about her cancer for some reason,
yeah,
I got goofy about this. But friends were talking to me about, primrose evening oil and cohosh, which I think is, or if I'm saying that right, like actually a native women's medicine. And then, yeah. And they were like, you might need melatonin support. You might need to look into valerian root, drink your chamomile tea, and, you know, meditate, exercise. So I was reading all these things, and I was happy to say that like that has now like tampered down the mood swings. They be wild. You know, I don't know. Like, I'll give you a tiny baby example. So I went to Stages Theater Company, which is a children's theater company in Hopkins. And if y'all don't know, quick tip, if there's something you want to see and your household identifies as Indigenous, call their box office. As part of their land acknowledgement, Native peoples get free admission to their shows. So I've been taking advantage.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Theater Moo, kind of a friendly sister theater to New Native Theater, was putting on 50 boxes, not 50 boxes of earth. That's the other one I saw. How to Catch a Tiger, I think was the name of the production. And anyway, it had, spoiler alert, it had a matriarchal figure who has cancer and that kind of thing. But it's children's theater, so it's not too heavy, you're thinking, right? At the end, like, I am like snot crying in the front row, just like burst into tears. And like my dude and the small are looking at me like, you okay, dog? And I'm like, there's a little kid behind me who's like, what's happened? And his mom is like, somebody's crying. And he's like, oh, and I'm like, And I know it was a touching production, but it wasn't all that, you know. I'm crying like somebody actually got hurt. It was so dumb. But that's the kind of thing that'll happen to you, you know,
yes,
in this experience.
Girl, yes. Girl, what the heck was I watching? Oh, God. What was? Oh, Vivo. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's animated, but I never sat and watched, like, I usually would clean or something, you know, with the movie playing with my kid watching it. But this time I was like, I'm sick. I'm going to just lay on the couch. I'm not going to force myself to, the house was a mess, but I'm like, I'm just going to force myself to lay here and I'll watch this whole movie. And I watched it. The monkey's mentor, like musical mentor, like passed away in the beginning. And I'm like, That got me. And then at the end, like, he delivered the song to his love of his life, but she's in, so they're in Cuba, and then his love of his life is in Miami, and they travel to Miami and they catch her. She's this famous, and they had like this duet together, but he was a spirit. And I'm like, I'm bawling. And I'm like, my daughter's like, what the heck? Like, this movie has been on several times, and I'm like, bawling. And that wasn't the, that was, there was another movie that same day at the same exact thing. But yeah, it's real. And I like the sleeping thing. I got up at, I think 2:50 today. And I was like, I tried to lay back down, and I laid there till 4:00, and I'm like, I might as well get up. I mean, I can't sleep, so might as well make some use of the time. So
oh,
it's real.
100%. And it's like, it feels like the worst like hormone surges I've ever had in my life. And they, I can feel it as it's happening, but I can't stop it, you know?
Right. And I suppose when you're like an adolescent and you're going through puberty, it's so hard to like identify. But now that we know, like, and you still can't do anything, maybe
now we have a vocabulary for it and more experience. It just makes me feel more helpless, honestly.
Exactly. I wish we had no clue so we could just enjoy the ride and lash out at whoever and not have a reason for it.
Well, and you know who's been like, I think, most helpful. So I'm surprised by this because like I shouldn't be, but I am. So my husband isn't Native. He's proudly a white guy. Although funny, when we first started dating, he's like, oh yeah, I think I've got some Cheyenne Native heritage. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, don't do that, bro.
Right. So I was like, oh, Cheyenne. Yeah, you guys held our horses real good at the Battle of Little Bighorn. He's like, what's that? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I was like, our friendship was so deep and we admired your aesthetics. So we named a color after you. And he's like, you did? I was like, yeah, Cheyenne pink. You know, he's like, he's feeling the weight. So that's my sweet designer white guy husband. But my mother-in-law, his mother, when she went through all this, I guess she was like, God love a feminist from Minnetonka, very open about her suffering. And he really took that to heart. It gave like a super impression on him. So as soon as I was like, I think I figured out what it is, the answer came to me on Facebook. He's like, oh, you should talk to my mom. And I'm like, what? And he's like, man, she suffered. And I'm like, okay. So I texted her. I'm like, hey, Mama Pat, blah, 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 blah. Mike says you really went through a time. She's like, yep, here's what you do. Here's also what you did. And then here's some new things I've heard from, you know, other women my age that she knows of. And I'm like, wow, you just got to find one, what are we in? Oh, perimenopause fairy godmother. And it's all the support you need. I don't care what tribe she from. You find the one you're good, you know?
Yes, man. Well, you should, I mean, well, we're going to take a break, but after do you mind sharing some of what she said?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, we gather wisdom from all places. Us matriarchs, we're like tinkers, right? we build.
And she's an ally. I mean, she's a mother. So just pulling from that, experience, I think would be great. I mean, I'm curious, and I know there's tons of folks our age that are probably listening that probably are in the same boat, like not sure who to ask or what to even ask about. And we're Googling things and it's still not the same person, you know, it's not a human person. So this would be great. So why don't we take a quick little commercial break and then we'll be back to talk to Genevieve Lane. We're chatting about all women things, creative, our time of coming to the autumn season. That's a nice, graceful way to put it. This is Medicine Bundle. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Programming is supported by Bremer Bank. With bankers who know that in business, relationships matter more than ever, and understanding is everything. More at Bremer.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Medicine Bundle. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, and I'm here with our guest for the week, Genevieve Lane.
I'm actually on the planning team for a birthing center, American Indian Birth Center in the Twin Cities. So I should send you an invite to our community event because we need community input for like what this should look like.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I think, I would love to support that. I wish I had that when I had, you know, my kid. And that's the thing is like, I live like an hour outside of Minneapolis and I don't mind driving, but you know, sometimes the things that happen in the Twin Cities, I can't always be available for because I need to come and, you know, be with my family and things like that. But, yeah, I'm thinking like, man, if there were doulas who could drive, like that would be awesome. I totally would have had one out here, you know, in the sticks where I had a kid, but.
Right. Well, we have a virtual option. So I'll send you that info because we thought of like the travel situation. So, and it's kind of cool to be a part of this planning when we're on the end of like closing out our childbearing years.
It really is. It's like I can still mommy, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens so fast. You're like, okay, you know, like when I had my daughter, my oldest is 26. And then when I had her, I'm like, I thought that it would last for, you know, forever. I'm like, God, this is, you know, this is a hard job. And it is, but it doesn't last for very long. She's at Trader Joe's right now, but I only see her a couple times a week now. And we have a completely different relationship now that she's an adult. And it's just, It's interesting to see your baby turn into an adult and like have that adult relationship with her because now.
Do her a favor, sit her down soon and explain.
Yeah. So it's not a big like mystery, like we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and it's so funny because I think as an urban native community, we're very good about making sure that we've even like brought, you know, native ceremony into the metro for the community to access. And there's different groups that do this. And, you know, they put up flyers, like that's awesome. But I don't feel like there's anything for our stage of life, you know, this kind of in between, learning to drop things just because otherwise we'd really be overburdened. Like you and I both have at least a child at home and then, you know, like trying to do the career thing. And then I've got two aging parents up north and I'm like, you know, and I think just as a native urban experience in particular, it's like, I didn't grow up in Minnesota. You know, I moved all over the place when I was coming up. So it's like, in terms of like roots and connection, it's like, well, am I going to go all the way to Standing Rock? Like, I grew up in Albuquerque. I don't know anyone in Albuquerque. Well, Minneapolis is sort of my community, but I live out here. And it's like just trying to find like, I mean, outside of prayer, right? Because that's like the one constant transmission we can all access as Native people. And maybe I need to turn to that a little more and ask for answers there. But it's hard to pick up wisdom and guidance when you're in the middle of being, you know, as we've established ourselves, cornerstone matriarch types in not just our families, but I'm hearing from you very much, Deanna, in the community. Like you do so much. I can't say your name and not have like five Indians turn around and be like, oh yeah, you know.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because I used to like when my daughter and my son were younger, I would be in every, like there would be nothing that I would miss and I'd be so involved. And then now I kind of retreated a little bit and just, you know, like with the writing and then like this kind of thing, I can be involved in that way. And then I know with like the POWA MC stuff, it's, I would like to start to see, maybe to mentor some younger women. But I went to the MMIW and MMIR march in February. And usually I know quite a lot of people, but there was tons of youth and there's tons of young people. And I probably would know their parents or grandparent. But it's like, it was like such a like, okay, you are, it's not like I'm done and over with, but it's like, I'm not the hot young one anymore. Or, you know, like I'm not the novelty, you know, it's like
that. We're not happens. The up and comers.
No.
Stand back and make coffeeers, you know.
Stand back and two creams, two sugar me. Eh? Bring it, hurry up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think I think the first time I'll say like in the last maybe I'll just say 5 years just to gloss it. But the first time someone younger than me was in charge of something and kind of directing me what to do, like it hit really different. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, you know, and I had to like swallow my judgment. And now as I've gone along a few years on this winding down path, I guess I'll call it, I see how I was when I was like in my early 30s, you know, more succinctly. And I'm like, oh my goodness, did I come with this intense energy? This like, I know everything. I know the latest thing. I'm going to do the thing. No one else has thought of this thing before me, you know. Did I have that kind of an ego? And I think, yeah, you know what? You probably mm-hmm. did. You were unaware. And older women who are now our age, we're tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they nudged gently. They weren't too critical because I don't remember anyone giving me a comeuppance and stepping on mm-hmm. my 30-year-old feelings to be like, sit down. You don't know what you're talking about. Like mm-hmm. nobody did that. So I'm trying to learn from that professional example.
Yes.
And make space for the younger folks, you know, to act like their hair's on fire and they have the solution. And it never occurred to the rest of us. So I'm just going to wait until they ask me.
Yep. Yep.
It's hard.
That's crazy because I was just thinking about like, I'm like, man, I acted like that. I have a mentor and she was so patient with me. Like, she did sit me down a couple times and tell me a few things, but she never did it like in an embarrassing way. So, and I'm seeing that same, like there must be a lot of stuff they held back watching me do whatever I was going to do. So totally.
Yeah. And you know, I feel really fortunate to be where I am now. Like where I work and the thing I do, like it feels, I love the title of your show, you know, Medicine Bundle, because I feel like that's another thing of what I'm starting to carry. Like I went to ceremony when I was younger and I participated in Sundance and that thing, but I sort of like backpedaled from labeling myself like a traditionalist in the usual, maybe romanticized sense. Because I just thought, that's so much self-denial, you know, and you got to be available to counsel people and you got to go to the things. But mm-hmm. I can see that like without being a capital T traditionalist, like this next phase in life really is about carrying medicine, even if it's your own, and that can be your experiences to share with others, your patience. Mm-hmm. Patience is something I'm really working on because I like to be like A to Z, here's the checklist, let's get it done, take it off. And I think being with artists has slowed down my assessment of people. Mm-hmm. It has allowed me to listen more carefully and let's face it, working for like a Native woman owned space it's pretty amazing. There's a lot I don't have to explain, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to be like, oh, this non-Native dude. And he looked at me in a way like, you know, mm-hmm. I can come in with any kind of energy and we check in with each other. If I have to take off to attend to life, like everybody gets that, you know, where we're at in community. And you know, I'm really encouraged to be creative. And I've just, none of my previous occupations really felt like this does, or they could have. And I wasn't aware that was an option because I was too busy trying to be a hotshot and get things done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't see, yeah, when you're in that mindset set, it's like hard to see the gifts that you're being given. And then when you're in retrospect, you're like, man, that was awesome. Like, that was so cool for them to take the time to do that or explain, or, you know, and at the time you're just like trying to rush through stuff. But yeah, that's, and I feel like, especially now in 2025, I know, with everything that's going on and all the changes that happen multiple times on a daily basis, and just kind of folks are just, feels like people are just kind of losing their minds. I feel like as creatives and as Indigenous women, we are needing to step more into our power. Like there's no turning back, and there's no like no more hesitancy on our part, because it's like our people need us right now. And you doing writing every day, I kind of fell off that, you know, like I would get up and write at least a page. And I really, talking with you today, I feel like I need to do that again, because it helps. And it's like my contribution to the world and what we're doing now. So, you know, as Indigenous matriarchs in 2025 in March, like there's so much to do, but I think honing in on, you know, that writing or that practice, that prayer or meditation, and just being like water is probably the best thing that we can do for our communities right now, because everything is shifting and drastically at a rapid pace. And I think those things will help to ground not only ourselves, but we can be an example for other people to ground, because it's okay to stay grounded. I know I almost feel like I have a little bit of survivor's guilt a little bit, because like, am I supposed to like be miserable right now? And I kind of am, you know, like seeing the things that are happening, but I have to be proactive, and mm-hmm. I can't like fall deeply into fear. Mm-hmm. And it's, so those are my thoughts. What do you think about
it? I hear you. It resonates. So it's giving this idea that I've kind of been turning over in my anthropologist brain, is whenever big things have happened to us as a species, you know, whether it's like a bottleneck event because the environment's, you know, literally popped off with a massive volcano they think was one of them, and, you know, or it was the ice age and migration, like all these things. When big events have happened to our species, like it took all kinds to get through. And what I mean about that is like sort of philosophical, like it took the best amongst us as a human being, the ones who were cooperative, the ones who were kind, the ones who would share, the ones who would extend. And socially, it also took maybe I'll say the worst, like the self-centered ones, the ones who would like, you know, not share, who would like actively rob their neighbor, who would, you know, commit all kinds of atrocities in the name of survival. Like, those people had to get through too, so that as a species, I think the human being, some of the experience is we have those dualities almost in our genetics. Like, we can get through tough circumstances, either being very cooperative and kind mm-hmm. and tolerant, or, and I'm not going to judge it because stuff happens, if push comes to shove, we will just look out for us and our own. And we'll do it in ways that strike others as completely atrocious. And so I think if it weren't, though, for different folks making different approaches, and I mean like through millennia, like we certainly wouldn't be here. Yeah, I can't answer more than 7 generations back. I'm lucky I could count that far. Mm-hmm. But further back than that, I can't answer to what my ancestors were maybe up to. I don't have access to that right now. But I also hope that, you know, I can kind of like forgive myself for not taking everything on in the best way, for not always being patient, for not always being cooperative, you know. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I see you've got only 2 items and my card is full, but you know what? There is somewhere I need to be that I think is more important than you right now. You know, mm-hmm. So sometimes mm-hmm. you have to do that kind of math. So when I hear that people are divided and they're going at each other politically, I'm like, you know what? We need everybody, good and bad, agree with or not. Like, that's the only way we're going to go forward just as a human being on the planet. So, but I mean, that gets really meta, and I'm probably wrong. When I'm 80, check back with me, and I'll be like,
I was so naive back then when I was 46.
Deanna, I thought I was so wise. I was seeing all kinds of garbage on your show. I was feeling time.
You know? I'm super embarrassed right now. No.
That's the one thing I regret.
The one thing. It's just, I mean, we're here for a reason. And it's like, I heard someone say, you know, our ancestors, they made decisions they made decisions that put them in a position that they had to survive to the next generation, to see their kids survive. And the decisions that they made were probably not easy. And we can't not really,
pretty, you know?
Yeah. It's so we have that in us though. It's like that decision making and all that stuff is in our DNA. We had thriving governmental societal societies, you know, for hundreds and thousands of years. So it's like that has to get activated somehow, and working together and seeing all these programs and all this writing. And I think the youth too are like surprising the heck out of me with all their creativity and all that spark is really, it's hopeful. And I don't want people to think that I'm not paying attention to stuff that's happening. I mean, like, I shouldn't care what people think, but I am, but I'm just, I don't know.
So I don't really watch the news anymore. And that's been a longstanding controversy with my family. It's like when it floats by me or if people want to tell me, okay. But I don't do it as a regular practice because especially now it's so awful. And I have so many people being like, didn't you see? I'm like, no, tell me about it. But if I was paying attention to the minutiae that happens on the daily, the latest scary headline, I would not have the nervous system energy to be calm and to listen when somebody else who's really worked up about it needs to talk to someone about it. You know, I wouldn't be able to co-regulate with them. We'd just be getting each other amped up, you know? So there's a place for both the people who are vigilant and are keeping track. And then the others of us who are like, okay, I'm going to reserve some of my energy and not keep track and not be as vigilant because you're going to need a soft place to land when that gets tiring for you. That sounds judgy, but I don't mean it to be. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. I didn't think it was judgy, but
it's
important. Like we all have a role to play, and we're very cognizant of our energy budgets as women, it seems like. So we know that it runs out at some point and we don't have infinite. We have to rest at some point. So
God, yeah, for me, it's about 2 o'clock. So, you know, that's when my energy bucket runs out. Well timed.
I know 4 o'clock. I'm like, why is this happening? I have to cook dinner and I do not want to do anything like 4 o'clock.
I know. I'm supposed to do dinner tonight. And I'm just thinking about my day. I'm like, all right, I got up. I left Duluth at 7 o'clock this morning. So I was already dressed, packed, all that stuff on the road. Then I go into the office and I do that for a little bit. And then I drive home another hour. And now, I'm doing this. I'm going to do some more work. And then about 5 o'clock, I'll start making dinner. And I'm just like, what? And then tomorrow I got to get up and pick up a kid to take my kid to their birthday experience at the Mall of America. And I'm leaving a rehearsal to be able to do that. And then Sunday I'll have a rehearsal and then, you know, but if I looked at the whole schedule, I would exhaust myself.
Yes. Yeah. You can't even
one event at a time.
Yes. Yes. That's good advice for you young people out there. Just take one event at a time. You can have your stuff planned out, but just tackle one thing. And I think this is what the radio show has taught me as well.
Can I do one shout out, one plug?
For sure. We have a couple more minutes.
Okay. I'll do it quick. So y'all go to newnativetheater.org. That's theater spelled R-E, the Bougie way. And get tickets to this thing that I'm producing that Rihanna Yazzie wrote, the award-winning Navajo playwright, also founder of an artistic director, New Native Theater. It's called The Nut, The Hermit, The Monk, and The Crow. And it is fantastical. There's puppetry. There's all these things. Yeah, you can bring your kids. Pay what you can. And yeah, I kind of insisted that she do it. And she agreed, which was very gracious. And so now I'm helping to produce it. And I also will get a cameo for a couple nights on it as an understudy. So.
Ooh, when does that start?
So it starts April 16th. And it runs Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7:30. And then Sunday is a 2 p.m. matinee. And it goes through May the 4th at Gremlin Theater.
So. At Gremlin Theater in St. Paul. Awesome. I will bring my daughter because she loves that theater. That's her jam. She'll probably not even sit. She'll probably take off, but
that's fine.
Great. Yes. If you have not been to one of the New Native Theater productions, or you probably have if you're a native who has been in the cities for a while, but every production is new and fresh, and there's different themes and there's different topics and different directors and things like that. So they definitely mix it up. I encourage you guys to get tickets. And then the pay what you can system is amazing because it's like you have no excuse not to show up. So that's awesome. I will for sure be there one of the days, maybe a Sunday.
Yeah, Sundays are nice. Sundays are big fun.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me on. I hope this was helpful to you, Deanna. I got a lot just being able to like, talk about this stuff. But now you've got the chore of editing it so that it sounds better.
That's my favorite. It's not going to be that much because we captured such good stuff. So thank you, Genevieve Lave. Genevieve Lane. She is the senior artistic director with New Native Theater, and she's amazing. And I'm humbled and honored to have her on the show and to call her my friend. And I hope you all listeners out there got some nuggets of wisdom from these aunties in the house today. Meek Witch.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.